This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was on my show back in August, and I think you should take a serious look at this basic material metals mineral company, because I think they're at the bottom and the beginning of their Phillips curve line, if you will. We're talking no other than First Cobalt Corp. You can find them on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol FTSSF. If you're up there in Canada, you can find them on the Toronto Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol FCC. And with us today is the CEO and president, going to bring us up to speed, Mr. Trent Mill. Trent, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Everett. Good to hear your voice.
You know, I saw your last press release. So you guys got a loan from Glencore for about $5 million with a possible cap of $40 million. That being said, that's pretty some exciting developments to hear from them. What do you plan on doing with the cash, and what is our pathway from here?
Okay, yeah. So the focus on our company, you know, 2017 was putting a bunch of assets together. We merged some companies, and then 2018 did a lot of drilling on our mineral projects while we worked on our refinery. And as the cobalt price started to come off, the focus turned to the refinery. We've had a lot of interest from some of the global miners that are looking to process their material outside of China, which is where the bulk of cobalt mining is done worldwide. And so the deal that we announced and we're working on through the summer was a deal with Glencore to take some of their feed, actually quite a significant amount of their feed, bring it to North America, refine it here for the North American market. And so as a first step of that deal, they've invested $5 million into the company. And that is going to fund a feasibility study. What we had done prior to this was, kind of a scoping level study. But now they want us to go to feasibility level detail with the engineering, some additional metallurgical work, some permitting work, and basically kind of tie a bow around the study so that we can make a go or no go decision by the time the study is finished, which is targeted for about February of 2020.
You know, cobalt has really rallied since August, say, I don't know, up 40-45%. But it looks like cobalt equities haven't caught up with that yet. Why is that?
Yeah, I got a couple of theories on that. One is that the equities tend to lag the performance of the metal. And it came with a sharp increase. Glencore announced in August that they were going to take their Mutanda mine offline at the end of the year, just to help the market further strengthen. And that generated an immediate response. So cobalt went from a low of about, you know, $12.50, $12.80 a pound to $18. Equities tend to take a little longer to respond. And when you're in the junior end of the market, as we are, even more so. And then, you know, compounding that is, meanwhile, we find ourselves in a situation now where the lithium market is in an oversupply situation. And I think we're kind of in the shadow of maybe that overhang. People don't recognize that the supply-demand outlook for cobalt all of a sudden has really turned around. And people are calling for a balanced market next year as opposed to a surplus over the next 2 or 3 years, because that Glencore mine that I mentioned accounted for 20% of production last year.
Why is this metal so important worldwide?
Well, it's scarcity. I mean, at its root, lithium-ion batteries, right, which started with our phones and laptops and now is the electric vehicle, which is the biggest component of global supply. More than half of the production today is going into lithium-ion batteries, which it just didn't exist 20 years ago. And so it's a huge strain, if you will, on the supply chain. And then if you look further where that supply chain is, it's, you know, the majority, again, coming out of the DRC, about 66% of the market is coming out of there. About 60% of refining is out of China, but about 80% of the cobalt into lithium-ion batteries is out of China. And so you got the backdrop of a tough African jurisdiction in which to do business. And then we got the U.S. trade war and the whole, all the pressures around China further downstream. And so when you start to look for opportunities to get around that supply chain, it's exceedingly difficult. We've managed to do that. And it's brought a lot of interest into our story, and we'll hopefully reap the benefits of that as we move forward here in the next 6 months.
You know, I've had so many basic materials, mineral companies on my show over the past year, probably at least 100, maybe 200. Why should listeners consider investing into First Cobalt at this time?
Well, on the commodity side, you know, if you believe in the electric vehicle revolution, you know, it's grown at about 60% per annum in terms of vehicle penetration rates over the last 6 years. Even if it grows at half of that, we're going to go from 2 million vehicles a year to 10. And that's an incredible pressure that it puts on the demand side of the equation. And there's just so few ways to get a cobalt. for every 100, 200, 300 gold companies that you'll have on your show, there's one cobalt company. And so I would say that even, you know, 2017, when cobalt was the top performing metal, there were dozens and dozens of cobalt companies. There's only about four left that have real assets and that are investable, of which we're one of them. And which makes us even further distinct is that we're, you know, we're a year away from cash flow. We've got a biggest cobalt miner in the world, one of the biggest mining houses in the world that's backing us. We'll have cash flow if all goes well and according to our plans, first cash flow of 12 months out and significantly more 12 months thereafter. And it's all here in North America. And it's funded. It's $40 million and not, you know, $500 million, which you might see associated with a cobalt mining project. And again, it's a permitted facility, as I mentioned previously on the show. So there's so many things going in our favor. Execution risk lessened by all of those factors. And I think the time is now where we're poised for a re-rate as the market turns around and our studies come in. And 2020 should be a really good year for us.
You know, recently you went out to Australia, Sydney, to be exact, to get a re-permit or just a permit to open up the refinery there in Ontario. I understood that the electricity went out, but it's back on. Bring us up to speed on that particular flagship property and where do you see that in the next two or three quarters?
Sure. So the refinery was built in 1996. So as these buildings go, it's a fairly modern facility. It operated up until about 2015. So it's been 4 years since the lights went out on the facility, and in part because there is no mining of cobalt on the continent here. And it wasn't until we turned our mind to feedstocks that are offshore that could be brought into North America that the refinery had new life breathed into it. And it was a much higher grade material. So the facility, by taking this offshore material, it's higher grade, it's easier to process. And so, yeah, we turned the lights on last week, brought in some generators. We're testing all of the equipment. We want to see what the condition is of all the various motors and equipment and instruments. And that'll progress as part of our feasibility study. And looking at about a Q1 completion date for the feasibility study. The permits are in place. So if we wanted to restart this tomorrow, we're in pretty good shape to do so on the current design rate, the current flow sheet of 12 tons per annum. But our ambitions extend much further than that. We want to go up to 55 tons per day of production. And what that would yield is about 5,000 tons of cobalt produced per annum in a cobalt sulfate, which is about 5% of the global market for refining. And it would be pretty much the sum total of any production here on the continent. So in terms of a potential supplier to, you know, domestic battery makers or the U.S. EV supply chain, we'd be the only game in town.
Trim, I'm going to give you the final words before I let you go. What is it that you want your stockholders and my listeners to take away from this interview?
Well, I think what they want, hopefully they take away that we're moving aggressively here to get ourselves to cash flow. And that's the holy grail of a startup company, is to get the first cash flow. And that's not far away. We were very aggressive in good times at drilling and acquiring assets and building up a team. And as the market took a bit of a pause through 2018, and the first part of this year, we were very disciplined in bringing in our costs. And now that we're starting to see some upside, we're narrowly focused on just getting that refinery up and running. We've got lots of assets in behind that, but we're going to do what we need to do to get the best returns for our shareholders. And the best way we can do that is by reducing our reliance on the capital markets for future funds by bringing in cash flow through our facility. So, you know, stay tuned, follow us, and we're working hard for you.
My guest today has been Trent Mell. He's the CEO and president of First Cobalt Corp. If you're looking to get on the ground floor of a basic material metals mineral company, look no further than that company. Very undervalued here, around 11 or 12 cents a share, with a market cap around $43 million. You can find them on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol FTSSF. You can find them on the TSX up there in Toronto on the ticker symbol FCC. Trent, I want to thank you for stopping by and coming on the show. I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing up there. I wish you nothing but continued success.
Thanks very much. We'll talk again soon. Appreciate the time.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.